On this edition of the weekly podcast from Radio Today, Trevor Dan returns with our monthly roundtable radio discussion for September. There's James Quidlan's thoughts on radio station names and our usual trip down memory lane with David Lloyd.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, innovative solutions for creative radio people.
First though, Radio Today's editor and founder Roy Martin is here. Are you ready for a lie down after that busy start to the week?
Hi Stu. Yeah, it's been a busy one, hasn't it?
Monday morning went off a bit, didn't it?
Well, I don't know if you saw, but I tweeted about 15 minutes before Chris Evans announced his departure from Radio 2. And I listed about half a dozen things about why today is such a busy day in radio. And then Chris Evans goes and blows all that right out of the water with his big news. So, yeah, it was busy, and it got even busier.
So Chris leaving Radio 2 after 13 years, last eight on The Breakfast Show, and then about an hour or so later, more shock news. We didn't really see that coming either, did we? It's a good, well-kept secret in radio. Not only his departure from Radio 2, but his arrival at Virgin.
Some people knew, but, yeah, it was announced at 10 a.m. on the dot that he was joining Virgin Radio. And we were messaging each other about quarter to, saying, where's this expected announcement? And we were both swapping pictures of Richard Branson talking to Chris Evans in the Radio 2 studio, thinking, is this going to be what it is? And I'd half written a story to say where he was going next with a blank for which station. And I never would have thought that it's going to be a tiny little dab station coming out of a basement in London. So, yeah, big shock. They're on the move, though, aren't they?
Yeah, they're moving to the News UK building by the Thames, which should be nice for them. So they'll be there by the new year when Chris starts. But, yeah, I think we were obviously speculating on our little chat group as well, and we knew there was an announcement coming because he'd said on Radio 2 that somebody else was going to announce some more news about him. And I'm just wondering what it was like at Global and Bauer, whether Bauer was sat there thinking Global have got him and whether Global was sat there thinking Bauer have got him.
They probably weren't, and nobody expected Wireless to chirp up with their network of local radio stations and a couple of strong national brands for him to turn up on. I mean, it's got less than 500,000 listeners. It doesn't reach a good portion of the UK. So Chris Evans saying he's got a mountain to climb, that ain't any exaggeration, is it?
And there's been quite a few blogs. Adam Bowie's done one, Matt Deegan's done one, John Myers has done one, Phil Riley's done one as well. So they were all worth checking out and reading about the Evans situation. Phil Riley on the business side of it, he's saying that Virgin need to get to 4 million listeners within 5 years to make a profit. Now, that is a massive mountain. And he reckons they need to be bringing in annual revenues of about £20 million. So that is a big ask for the station. And I'm presuming we're going to have to see some more announcements about more talent joining, not just Evans. You've got to build the schedule around him.
Well, yeah, you'd think so. And I think it was Phil that said, or speculated, Evans will be on about £3 million to do this show. I mean, you know, I don't think Sam and Amy were quite on that much for Virgin Radio Breakfast. So, yeah, has he gone for the money? Has he gone for the challenge? Who knows? Was he just a bit bored?
And we'll watch this space, because I'm sure there'll be more announcements to come before he even gets on the air. We've got all sorts of ideas of things that might happen. Is there a chance with deregulation he could go on FM in various parts of the country where wireless have got some FM stations? We need to see what they're going to do with the DAB coverage, because I'm sure Evans is not going to be happy at being about 80% of the UK covered in areas on DAB. So will it be interesting to see some investment in the delivery as well as in the content.
But in reality, is Chris Evans going to want to appear on a bunch of local radio stations? I mean, how many listeners do all the local FMs have between them? And will it even make a dent if they're looking for 4 million?
Probably not. I think it's under a million. It's about 700,000 or 800,000, I think, from a quick tot-up of numbers.
So the biggest radio star in Europe, it does breakfast on Wire FM Warrington. I'm not sure that's part of their plan. but I'm sure they have a plan, because they wouldn't have bought the big guy without one, I'm sure.
So who do we think is going to replace him at Radio 2 then? Surely got to be Sarah Cox.
Well, in these situations, when somebody's so well tipped off, even by the man himself, who's going to replace him, I think it's pointless even putting any more names into the hat. I think Sarah Cox has got it. Who else could it be, though? What do you think?
I think if it's not Sarah Cox, it's probably going to be Simon Mayo or Zoe Ball, but I really don't think there's much chance of it being anybody else. I think if Sarah doesn't get it, somebody probably needs to eat their hat.
There's not going to be anybody coming in from the outside, I don't think.
You never know. Well, this is what Chris thinks. He's firmly backing Sarah. This was Tuesday morning on the show.
Front page of the Mail. Here we go. Could Sarah Cox be the first woman Radio 2 breakfast show host? Well, why the heck not? She's the regular sub. She's a super sub. She's the regular dep on the show. She's been here a couple of years. She's been doing it for over a couple of years, I think, isn't it? Over a couple of years. She's 2-1 favourite with the bookies. Second favourite, Simon Mayo. Simon is currently 4-1 second favourite to be the first woman Radio 2 breakfast show host. They've just put him in that. I don't know if they've noticed. It's not Simone Mayo. It's Simon Mayo. For heaven's sake. Well, look, everybody here loves Sarah. We all love Sarah. She's lovely to work with. We all adore her. And we know that the listeners love her because... You tell us. You tell me out on the street. You tell other people that work on the show and around the show. And also, we do these this research called AIs. What does that mean? Audience Index. Yes, it's audience appreciation, isn't it? Which I always think they should call it AA, but it's Audience Index, but it means audience appreciation. And she scores way up there with the best of the rest. So the smart money is on Sarah. I have no idea, but I do know this. Mary Merrily, who works on our show, produces Sarah when Sarah is away. And when Golden Graham goes on holiday on Thursday, Mary's producing this show for 2 weeks. Is there something going on here? It makes sense to me.
Interesting theory. So just on a slightly different angle, do we think Chris Evans will transfer listeners to Virgin? Do you think his listeners will literally turn the dial and go with him to Virgin Radio and up their numbers, do you think?
It's a tough one, isn't it? I think there are a lot of people who just listen because it's the Radio 2 breakfast show, and they'll listen to whoever does it. So if Sarah gets it, they'll carry on listening to her, and I don't think her numbers will be affected. But there will be some Chris fans, as we saw with people like Moyles appearing on Radio X when parts of the country could only get that on DAB. People went out and bought a DAB radio just to listen to Chris Moyles, or they got one in their car. So it's going to be the same, and it's probably a good thing for DAB and digital radio, because there will be more people thinking, oh yeah, I want to listen to Chris Evans, so I'm going to get one in my car as a result of this.
I was speaking to a non-radio friend, and said she said, oh, I do like Chris Evans. And I said, will you actually change the station though, because they listen to Radio 2 most of the time? Said, oh well, I like his banter and everything, so yeah, I might give him a go on the new station. So, you know, it might happen.
All right, we'll crack on with the rest of the news, because the roundtable is on the way with Trevor and his guests. We had lots and lots to talk about. Talk Radio, another signing for Wireless this week. Matthew Wright has joined. He's going to do the afternoon show alongside people like Eamon Holmes and Julie Hartley O'Brewer. That's a cracking schedule that they're spending some money on. We've also got more presenter news this week. Eddie Mair finally started on LBC. Did you hear any of him?
I did, yeah. His first words were quite unique. They were... shall I just talk into this then? Something like that.
Yeah.
And very laid back, of course, as he usually is. And a good start. He was very humble and very honoured to be at LBC.
We'll find out what the panel think in a few minutes. Roxanne Pallett's been making a lot of headlines, and she's lost her radio show as a result.
Yeah, we didn't see this one coming, did we? Yeah, what more can we say that hasn't been said about the incident, the Big Brother incident?
Yeah, and so Minster have decided they don't want to keep her on her breakfast show. Now they've had a chance to speak to her and her people after she came out of the Big Brother house. Nation Radio has launched in Scotland.
Kind of. It's a month-long test, and then they'll be officially launching with commercials, hopefully, on October the 1st. So good luck to everybody there in what they do.
And good luck and congratulations as well to Ricky and Hannah, Ricky Lee and his wife. They've just been given the go-ahead to be the first European radio owners of a station in the States, which is nice.
Yeah, he moved to the States with work a few years ago, and I think he said to me at one point, oh, you know, I'd love to own a radio station. So good for him. He's finally done it.
And a quick word as well about my Five Live colleague, Rachel Bland. She's been battling cancer for the last couple of years now, very publicly in her fight against the disease as well, with a podcast and an award-winning blog. The podcast this week made it to the top of the podcast charts. And very sad news from Rachel, as she announced that she's been told she's just got a few days left to live. So our thoughts with Steve, who is her husband, who was a Five Live producer for a while as well, and a little boy. Very sad times for everyone at Five Live who's known and worked with Rachel over the last 10, 15 years or so.
Yep, so sad, and she's been very brave to do it all in the public as well. So, our thoughts are with everybody in her family.
And if you've not heard the podcast, check it out. It's very good, very open and honest. Three girls talking about their lives with cancer. It's called You, Me and the Big C, and it's riding high in the podcast charts. We've got lots of events coming up into September and October. We're in September already, blimey. Community Media Conference and Community Radio Awards coming up on the 15th. And then, Roy, you're going to be at Next Radio on the 17th.
Yes, a day in London on Monday the 17th. The arias will be announced as well, the shortlist, the nominations will be out, and lots of good speakers, including Ian Lee and Catherine as well. Looking forward to that session. And to follow on, Drive to Digital the week later. Vox is coming up, the actual arias themselves in Leeds on October the 18th. The Student Radio Awards, the new look Student Radio Awards. Things are going to change. I'm not sure how, if anybody's interested, but instead of putting out food for everybody in the evening, they're just going to have wine instead, which is always a winner. And then the APAs on the 22nd of November, the Audio Production Awards. So, yeah, lots of events in the next few weeks or so.
Stay tuned for David Lloyd and for James Cridland. Right now, though, it's time to hand you over to Trevor Dann for our monthly roundtable for September.
Thank you, Stu, and welcome to Bower, as we're now calling Jazz FM. It looks exactly the same. It feels the same. The same people are working outside. But apparently it's all going to be changing. But nothing changes at the Radio Today Roundtable, apart from the panel, of course. And this is the monthly roundtable for September. Let's see who's joining me today.
Hello, I'm Matt Deegan. I run the children's radio station Fun Kids and work on some radio projects.
Hi, I'm Nikki Birch. I'm exec producer at BBC R&D, and I also run a company called Rosina Sound.
Hello, I'm Matt Hall, and I work as the head of on-demand audio at the Wireless Group.
So nothing's been going on at the Wireless
it's
Group,
been a
has
really
it, this week?
Boring week. I don't know what I'm going to talk about.
We will obviously talk about Eddie Mair and LBC, and we're going to talk about BBC Local Radio and its new evening programmes, but we have to start with Chris Evans leaving Radio 2. Here's how it happened.
So now here's something, depending on your point of view, depending on which side of the fence you sit on. It's been quite big news in our house over the last few weeks and months, which is saying something if you consider the fact that the twins, the unborns, Ping and Pong, you know, are still on their way. And it's the fact that I'm going to leave. I'm going to leave Radio 2. I'm leaving Radio 2.
And this is what Virgin Radio had to say about it.
I'm Jenny Barsby. Good morning. Chris Evans is returning home to join Virgin Radio. He'll present the breakfast show from the new year. Evans says it's exciting to be returning to his spiritual home. He announced the news earlier, saying you have to keep shaking it up.
So what are people saying at Wireless Towers, Matt Hall?
They're very stoked, I believe, is the...
are they woke as well?
Well, don't know about that, but Alan Brazil is a woke person, I'm not sure. They're very excited. There is a real excitement buzz around the building. The only similarity that I can think of in terms of going into work at a radio station and it being really exciting was when somebody called Chris Evans left Radio 1 under equally exciting circumstances.
What was that like?
But, it's brilliant. It's a real... Everyone has got a real buzz.
Matt, what did you make of it? I mean, we didn't see it coming, did we?
It's a proper surprise, and there aren't many of those in the radio industry. I think there was always a bit of a view that sometimes Chris can get a bit bored and wants to do something new. So I think there's a little bit of that. But if you said, I think Chris Evans is leaving, where's he going to go? I'm not sure Virgin Radio would be in your top 10 stations. So it's a good surprise.
They always say, don't they, following Watergate, you know, it's follow the money. Mm. So do you think it's just a question of they've offered him so much money he can't refuse it?
I'm sure he's on even more money than he was on before, but you know, this is a man who's already wealthy and successful and has a variety of interests, so I don't think the money's that important. Though of course, if you're going to, if someone is buying your talent and your awareness and the marketing ability of you, then of course he's going to get them to pay for it.
Nikki, what did you make of it?
It was quite interesting. I was at the BBC yesterday in NBH, and I did think, oh, there's probably a lot of people running around in Wogan House upstairs getting their knickers in a twist or being excited by what the potential kind of, you know, next steps are. And I think, you know, lots of people talking about what's going to happen next, which is great, right?
I know, Matt Hall, that although you work there, you're not going to know the exact answer to this, but I'm going to put it to you anyway. Do you think that when he starts a Virgin, he will have more things to do than just the Virgin Breakfast Show? Is he likely to have more time to develop the TV career and so on that's been on hold for a while?
I'm not sure. I know that he's committed to it from what has been said. He's definitely kind of bought into the idea of making Virgin one of the leading radio brands and kind of, you know, the stated aim of being the top streamed radio station in the UK. Music radio station, sorry, in the UK. And yeah, that's kind of what the plan is, I think.
So, Matt Deegan, how do you turn a 400,000 listener digital station into a big player in the radio market?
Well, if you look at the market at the moment, so biggest digital radio station, I think, Six Music with 2.4, 2.6 million listeners. Biggest commercial station, I think, is kind of Kistory Absolute 80s, 1.8 million-ish. So 2 million, you would say, is achievable for a non-traditional radio station, digital-only radio station. He's clearly one of the biggest talents in the country. No one exactly knows how many of his Radio 2 listeners will swap. But also, it's not like someone's swapping entirely from Radio 2 to Virgin. You know, they would still probably listen to Radio 2 in the day and, you know, maybe move to listen to Chris. So I think, you know, growing that reach is achievable. You would think a million listeners would be easy. It's what you can do above that. I think if you could get to 2 million really quickly, I would regard that as an amazing success.
But I think it's quite interesting already, you know, Virgin and Chris Evans were trending yesterday in the UK on Twitter. If you looked at that, the Twitter fall at the streams as they were coming in, there was a really large number of those tweets saying, I didn't know Virgin existed. I didn't know it was still on air. Job not totally done, but the first part of that job has been done then, in that, you know, the brand recognition is back there and the awareness that Virgin is a radio station, again, is back there. So, you know.
It's a bit like the job that Moyles is meant to be doing with X.
And I think he has. So if you look at Radio X outside of London and Manchester, where it's on FM, actually Moyles has been really successful to drag people to a new service. Now, that was after 3 years off air. And it looks like, I mean, I don't know when he's going to start at Wireless, but he's going to finish at Christmas on Radio 2 and pretty much straight away start over the road. You know, that's a big difference to what happened with Moyles.
I just want to recommend a couple of blogs. You blogged, Matt Deegan, very interestingly, and there's a very good piece that people should look out for by John Myers. But the most interesting for me is Phil Riley's. Now, I don't know whether any of you have read this, but Phil Riley has written this forensic piece of financial analysis about why it works for wireless and why they should spend all this money and how they will actually get it back. It's a big play, though, isn't it? You know, I mean, this is a lot of money they're gambling, and what a great thing that is for the radio industry.
I read from my favourite trusted source, the Daily Mail, online last night that if he is getting paid $2 million for the Virgin gig, well, assuming he was getting paid, I think, 1.6 for
the BBC.
That's
not an assumption. That's
is that a fact now?
It's a fact within that, that kind of...
Yeah, it's around that thing where they're saying that now that would be currently at 410,000 listeners. That's £5 for every pair of ears he reaches.
Or £2.50 per ear. I think that one thing that... And this isn't being kind of at all supercilious or whatever. I think that actually it's quite a good opportunity for Radio 2 as well. I mean, obviously, given the choice, they would prefer to keep Evans there. I'm sure that they would. But actually, it takes the story that comes up every 6 months when they publish the fees for their presenters out of, takes one of the big kind of numbers off that.
Definitely. 1.6 million can go a long way. That's a lot of people's wages there.
And it also frees up the opportunity. You know, what's the one thing that everybody says every time there's a shift at Radio 2? Where are the female presenters in daytime? And it's got a really big opportunity to put a presenter in.
So who are we recommending for the slot, Nikki?
Do you know what? There's lots of talk about Sarah Cox and Zoe Ball, and, you know, they both do a great job. Simon Mayo, also, they'd all do a great job. I quite like Vanessa Feltz or someone, do you know what I mean? Just someone, you know. I know she's not going to get it, because bless her, she's a bit Marmite, but, or maybe, you know, but I just, somebody who's just a bit, you know.
A bit of oomph.
A bit of oomph, exactly, a bit of oomph.
She'd do well.
Yeah.
I think. Matt Deegan.
I'd like Sarah Cox to do it. I think it's something she's covered, so the listeners are warm to her. I think her act over 20 years has matured, and she's an amazing person to listen to now. I think she'd be great on it.
I think she's really great as well. I'd definitely go for her. Because you've also got that thing that whoever goes in won't be pulling in the numbers that Evans is pulling in at the moment. But you've got that kind of really unique thing with Radio 2 where you've got the Ken safety net of the really big numbers in the show straight after. So if you're going to put in somebody and you're going to think it's a long-term thing, we're going to have to build from a kind of much lower base, you've got a good opportunity to do it, I think.
Do you think they bring in somebody not from Radio 2?
Given the current Radio 2's controllers liking for figures from the world of entertainment, shall we say, there could be a kind of left field thing.
Well, there could be.
That comes from the world of TV.
Yeah. Imagine that
Simon Cowell,
Anton Deck were available.
Maybe, yeah.
I mean, the other person that's on the network doing a breakfast show is Dermot O'Leary. And that would be quite.
Heads are being shaken.
That's probably a good radio industry response to that. But I would have him on the list.
All right, well, we'll keep a weather eye open on that. Let's have a small advertisement and then we'll talk about what's happened on LBC this week.
Hi, Trevor, it's Stuart again. Just with a quick word as we take a break to tell you about CleanFeed, if you've not heard about it. If you're doing OBs, interviews, co-hosting from a remote location, whatever you're doing out and about and you want to get quality audio back to the studio, CleanFeed is for you. It's designed for radio people. It's designed for podcasters as well. If you've got guests remotely that you want to talk to, it's really simple to connect live audio over the web as well. Great quality, and you can even record right within the app in the browser. It doesn't cost you anything to get started, and CleanFeed only takes 30 seconds or so to sign up for you to start and be doing your first live interview or recording within a few minutes. So you can find out more about it at cleanfeed.net.
Hi, good afternoon, and thank you for joining me on LBC. It's good to finally be here. I want to take a moment before we do anything else to chanter on a bit, I suppose, about me. I don't intend to do that every day by any means, but on my first day I thought I would. Normally, we will talk about what's going on in the world and your experience of it, but I did want to start my first day on air here by thanking LBC, obviously, and thanking them for their understated promotion of this show. I want to apologise to all LBC listeners who've heard nothing but me and my voice over the last week. Hopefully that will now calm down. The other person I want to thank just at the start of the programme is Ian Dale. The chances are you are a regular Ian Dale listener and you've tuned in and are somewhat perplexed to hear me here, and I understand that. The thing about people who run radio stations, and everyone who works in radio knows this, is every now and again they come along with an idea of refreshing the schedule, they call it, and things get moved around. And everyone who works in the business understands that. For listeners, and obviously I'm a radio listener too, there is nothing worse than when your favourite person gets moved. Your friend on the radio suddenly disappears to a new time. So I do feel your anguish if you're missing Ian. I absolutely get that.
So there's Eddie Mair at 4 p.m. on LBC. And did anyone hear the show?
I did,
Nikki?
Yeah, I did. I really liked it. It was definitely the Eddie Mair show. PM, obviously, he crafted to be the Eddie Mair show, but this felt more like his personality. It made me think, I'm not a big LBC listener, and I thought I would want to start listening. That and James O'Brien, I thought, OK, this could be a station for me. And I thought it was funny. I thought it was, you know, it was really interesting, him reacting with callers. It just felt good, you know. There's a really funny bit in it where he keeps sort of trailing Jeremy Paxman reading Dickens. And is it going to the classic serial we've got? We're going to do a classic serial, something different on LBC. And I thought, God, that's really odd. He's reading Dickens on LBC. And then I don't know if anybody heard it, but it ended up being just literally the first line of Dickens.
Do you know what? I'm really glad you told me that because I listened to it live, but I was on the train. And I went through a tunnel just when he was like, set it up. And I was only in the tunnel for like 10 seconds. And then they were on to something else. I was like, what? Wait, what? There was some weird time shift going on. I've got to say, I'm in the camp of the Mair agnostics. And I used to think he was a bit too, saying it politely, he was a bit too pleased with himself. There was a rather more earthy phrase that I could have used. But there were occasions on Radio 4 on PM where it just felt like he was revelling in his own smartness, shall we say. I felt that he didn't, that wasn't there last night. And I think it's probably because he had to talk to ordinary people on the phone, you know, and was kind of still being amusing and still being quite quietly kind of prodding and stuff. But I thought it was a really good show. The one thing that I was really disappointed with, and the real hope, was that there was going to be an interesting handover with Nigel Farage at 7 o'clock. But unfortunately, because he's in Australia, I think he'd pre-recorded the top of the show, which was a real shame, because I was really looking forward to that.
Matt Deegan.
Yeah, I heard a little bit of it. I hadn't heard a lot. I had a look at some of the social reaction to it from Ian Dale fans or LBC fans or PM fans. And you know, LBC is a divisive radio station. It's designed that way. You know, from Eddie Mair to Nigel Farage is quite the leap. And so maybe churn is more of an issue for them. So it'd be interesting to see what happens with that.
Well, I was going to ask you about this. You're somebody who studies all this kind of thing. And I think it would be fair to say that you come from the school of radio consultancy, which says keep doing the same thing most of the time.
Consistency is a good thing. Yeah,
that's the point. And yet, there's LBC, very much like Radio 2, just saying, no, that doesn't work. No, we're going to go from Ferrari to O'Brien and we're going to have Farage on and so on. Why do you think that works?
I think one of the things with LBC, and whether it was part of this change, whether it's lucked into it, you know, political discourse is way more binary than it used to be. Pro-Brexit, anti-Brexit, Tories, super left-wing, Labour, all of those sorts of things. And it's more and more difficult to occupy the centre ground, I think. No one wants to be in the centre ground anymore. And so if you're the BBC being very fair to everyone, that's why everyone thinks they're too left-wing or they're too right-wing. It's just because they're away from their own viewpoints in the middle. And I think that works for people anymore. I think what LBC has managed to do is go, I'm a presenter and I am more left. I'm a presenter and I am more right. You can disagree with that, but you know where they stand. And I think that's, in modern political discourse, I think trying to understand that people aren't cheating or this is a lie or he's pretending to be this works better for them.
What about PM? Who's going to take that over?
I don't know who would take it over, but I think it's an opportunity for Radio 4 to maybe reset the programme so that it doesn't have to be... Whimsical isn't the right word, but so that it doesn't have to have...
Chris Mason?
I mean, he's great on the Brexit podcast. He's really good. And he's got that ability to tell gags without being trite. And I think, yeah, he'd be a good call, actually.
Possibility. OK, let's talk about local radio in the evenings. So the backstory here is that BBC local radio stations used to do their own programmes during the evenings, and then as part of one of the regular cutbacks, they were told to take an evening show that was shared among all of them, and then that was abolished again last year, and now they're all launching their own new shows again. You're not very happy with the way they're doing it, Matt Deegan, I can tell from your recent blog.
Yeah, I mean, there's a bit of me that I don't really care. I mean, I don't listen to the station.
That's because you live in London. I know. You're part of the liberal elite.
Yeah, I wish. But then... I was reading with a Radio Today write-up that was explaining what all of them are doing, and they're all doing something different. And I just thought, this is so all over the place. Some stations are putting a single presenter on an evening show, which I think is probably sensible. A lot of stations are doing different things each day that vary. I think I was looking at WM, that varies from a sort of Asian dub type show on a Tuesday, and on the Monday is like an over 50s show. And I just think in today's...
Hold on, there's an over 50s show. What are the other shows then?
So this is it. So if you look at... So we get back to WM. On a Wednesday and Thursday, it's designed for teenagers. And no teenagers are listening to BBC Local Radio because they haven't been taught that that's a place where there's content for them. Same if you want Asian dub beats. Again, it's not necessarily your first choice. So in that case, if you go, this is important for us to do it here at WM, then you've got to really go for it with the marketing and really teach people that this thing's there. My guess would be they haven't got a massive above-the-line marketing budget to spend on it. In which case, what are you doing? It's not 1985 anymore. The idea that appointments to listen, particularly for younger audiences, can be a thing on a broadcast radio station with no history of of particularly doing that. I just think it's on a hiding to nothing. Now, if you want to pretend it's public service, we're not worried about the numbers and we're going through the motions, well, that's a waste of money. And if you really want to launch a local dub show in that marketplace, maybe putting it on at 7 p.m. on a Tuesday on BBC WM isn't the right place for it to be. Maybe it's an online thing, maybe it's something else.
Well, it'd be good if we had somebody here who specialises in online audio who could help us understand
Andy
that.
Andy used to work in specialist music in BBC local radio.
Go well. On then, Matt Hall.
I was really intrigued by this story and I looked around on some on various BBC local radio schedules to see what all the various things are doing. I don't know. What are BBC radio, local radio evening audiences like? They must be fairly small, I would have thought. And I was wondering whether it's an opportunity, in the case of the kind of WM, kind of Asian grime show, to reach out to a sector of the community which local radio has a remit to serve. And I was kind of remembering when I was at GLR, which was shortly after you were at GLR, Trevor, of the kind of community shows that were a really important part of the...
Well, the argument was they won't enlarge our share, but they will reach some people. I think what Matt Deegan here is saying is that actually they won't anymore because nobody has that habit.
So the interesting thing is, you might be right, that age group that is used to video on demand, is used to YouTube, is used to picking up their music through various different streaming services when they want and how they want it. The question is whether that audience could learn to use the iPlayer or the Listen Again facility through on the BBC or even podcasting, because I'm assuming that a lot of that stuff will be unsigned. They'll be able to kind of do deals and keep the whole tracks in the, if they were to podcast it or whatever. But then, as you say, it's a matter of getting it out to that audience. And if they choose the presenting team correctly, there'll already be people in that audience. You know, it's very easy just to put at the bottom of a flyer for a club night that listen to the show at kind of 8 o'clock on Tuesday night on WM. That works as a piece of marketing. And if that presenter is the right presenter and has got a following, then, you know,
I think in an interesting way, they're parking their tanks on community radio's lawn, because there's a lot of community stations that do this kind of thing. Nikki.
It feels to me like there's probably people at local... This is an assumption, because I haven't worked at local radio, but there's probably people who remember how it was and how it used to be when everybody had their own shows and things weren't kind of networked, and they want to go back to how it was before. And there's lots of people going, we should have a this kind of a show, and we should have a this kind of a show, and lots of great ideas. But I'm kind of inclined to sort of go with what Matt Deegan was saying, because it feels like they are good ideas for shows, but possibly not in the right spot anymore for that audience. And that's not to, those shows should have a valid space, but maybe that is online or in community radio stations or in local radio stations where people are already expecting to hear that kind of music and that kind of sound. One of the benefits is that actually there are very few places for talent to get kind of experience, as in on BBC local radio. You know, we know there's community radio, we know there's podcasting, there's lots of opportunities out there, but in terms of on BBC and on commercial radio stations, there's not many opportunities. So it is a great kind of, a great training ground.
And BBC Radio Nottingham are making virtue of this. They're actually doing a show where it is a kind of search for a star. So it'll be interesting to see who comes up through that.
As was evinced when they shuffled all the pieces on the Six Music chessboard the other week, you know, there were no new names. And you kind of think, well, if Six Music isn't bringing new names on, then where is that going to come from for major network radio?
Next thing I want to do, Matt Deegan, is give you a few seconds to plug Next Radio, the Conference of Radio Ideas, organised by you and James Cridland.
Yes, so it's back again. I think we're at 8th year. It's at the Royal Institution on Monday, the 17th of September. Tickets still available, next.radio.
I'm amazed to hear that.
Next.radio.
A few only.
Yes.
Get them quickly.
Go quick.
Can I add to that? So I did a talk, I think it might have been last year, and since then, it's been watched by a lot of people. I've been contacted a lot, so thanks, Matt.
Some of them, not your mum.
Some of them. I don't think my mum watched it, but one of my mum's friends said, "I saw you do that TED talk."
That's good. So that's a good point. So if you don't know about the conference, it's a bit TED-like. So every session is either 9 or 18 minutes. They tend to be quite authored presentations. We put pretty much all the sessions on as little videos, so if you want to go and graze and look at old ones, you can.
But it doesn't beat being in the room, though.
Of course, being there is the best thing. And it's we have a real mixed bag of speakers. We've got 24 speakers that from all around the world, from people you might have heard of as radio consultants, people like Valerie Geller, who's kind of speech radio consultant, right through to YLEX, which is the youth station in Finland. The person who runs that's going to come in. So one of the things we like with Next is, if you run a youth radio station or you work on one, you're obviously very aware of what Capsule are doing, what Radio 1's doing. But actually to sit there and find someone that you've never heard of, a station you've never heard of, explain what their thinking was and why they got to this point. And it's not necessarily about stealing that idea, but going, oh, that's interesting, we should maybe think about these things this way.
And no panels.
No, I mean, it's very authored. So I think everything this year is just a single person on stage speaking, and it tends to be talking about an idea or a concept. Right through to Dan McGrath, to Chris Evans. Dan was Chris's old producer. He wrote the theme music to Strictly, and he's going to talk through how he created that. So there's something for everybody, whether you're into production or strategy or sales or research. There should be something for everyone. Next.radio to get your tickets.
We've got Matt Deegan and Nikki Birch and Matt Hall here this month, and we'll find out what they've been listening to after this.
Phone calls, social media, SMS, email, codec control and visualisation through the same interface. Phone box from Broadcast Bionics. Welcome to the social studio at bionics.co.uk.
So, nothing's been going on in radio, as I think we've just established. You might have to go before this is all finished, Matt Deegan. So, off you go. What have you been listening to?
So, this week, two things I've been listening to. One is Greg James, breakfast show on Radio 1's, a few weeks in now. It's a good listen. It's really well produced. This morning, I was listening to their Cornish pasty thing, so there's a story arc all week where they're going to deliver a Cornish pasty from Cornwall to Aberdeen, but listeners have to take it there or drive it there or cycle it there or put it on a bus.
Last week on the show, we heard from Sarah in Aberdeenshire. She revealed that she has never eaten a Cornish pasty. So the thing about Sarah living in Aberdeenshire is that it's just about as far away from Cornwall as you can get in the United Kingdom. With the help of everybody listening, I want to get the pasty from Padstow in Cornwall to Aberdeenshire. The pasty will be hitchhiking its way to Sarah with the help of as many people as possible. If you can help, we want you.
So this seems to be the thing about the show, that it's much more listener-focused. So yes. It's not about, hey, we're a bunch of cool people having a lot of fun and you can listen to us. It's about, we want to take you in as part of our family.
Yeah, and they've done some clever things. So it's called the regular stuff. So they have celebrity interviews, but they put them in the celebrity call centre. So they do a couple of links where they're just answering the phones to listeners. And then you hear about their tour or their book or their film or whatever. And so it's a small shift. And again, if they get someone on the phone, they've got a mechanic called Game of Phones where a listener gets through to them and asks a question. So all the regular stuff's there. It's just tweaked, I think, to seem much more ground up from the listeners, and I think that team particularly have a history of really listening to what the listeners say and seeing, oh, what can we jump on. I think the pasty thing came from a phone in the previous week. Very fast paced. Some people say, oh, it's quite commercial, and I think actually what they're saying is it's tight, it's not flabby at all, it's features and executions and on to the next thing. So it's a great listen.
So another choice from you, Matt.
The other thing that I've been listening to is Slow Burn, a podcast from the States. It's series two, but I hadn't heard of series one, so I've gone back and listened to the first series, which is all about Watergate. And it's one of those things that I sort of know a little bit about it. I've heard it mentioned all the time, but don't know that much about it, really. But it's sort of stories that sit around Watergate and why it was an issue and what happened. But really, when I was listening to it, I was thinking, this person has made this purely to almost subtweet Trump. Because everything, all is suggesting, these are all things connected to what we're hearing about the current American president. And it's almost, you listen to it thinking, oh, if only these things happen this time around, it's going to be amazing.
It's really entertaining. I mean, I've listened to the first series, I haven't listened to the second one. And it's done really subtly because, as soon as you start listening, you're going, okay, this is happening now. Mm. But it's with a real lightness of touch.
United Airlines Flight 553 was a minute away from landing at Midway Airport in Chicago when it crashed on a residential street on the city's south side. As the Boeing 737 hit the ground, it sent a car flying through one house and sliced the roof off another.
Power lines were severed. Police and firemen set up a temporary morgue in a local schoolhouse.
A woman who lived nearby said the place is bedlam. There are ambulances screaming up and down the street.
45 people were killed, including the captain. Among them was a woman named Dorothy Hunt. And there were two noteworthy facts about her. First, she was carrying $10,000 in cash. And second, she was the wife of E. Howard Hunt, who had helped plan and carry out the Watergate break-in.
The other really interesting thing about it is that it's the first series is an 8-part series, but if you sign up to subscribe to Slate Plus and become a member, you get a whole nother 8 episodes, which are hang off each of the main episodes. So it's a really interesting. I'd be really interested to see how that's driven their subscriptions.
That's the Slow Burn podcast. Nikki Birch.
So I've been listening to two things, a podcast and a radio programme. So the podcast is a drama, a comedy drama called Bubble, that was recommended to me by a colleague called Henry Cook at R&D. And I said, I really want something to kind of, for the summer to, you know, to binge on. So I really do love this sort of American drama binge series like Homecoming and Sandra. I don't know if anyone said, or other ones I recommend. But Bubble is set in kind of the future where a group of kind of Americans who are set in also the sort of startup world, that's the kind of comedy, but they live in a bubble. They've chosen actively to live in a bubble, a bit like the Truman Show. And they have to go, and sometimes outside is the bush, and sometimes these kind of bush animals come inside and they have to kill them. And they kill them, they work for kind of an Uber type company that is sent to kill the bush animals. So it's all kind of startup-y, science fiction, comedy. It's very funny. It's very, very well written, and which is something that really distinguishes it. And it's also, it's got its main narrator is the, I don't know if you remember, the fashion blogger called Tavi Gevinson, who was about kind of 13 and sitting in the front rows of these with Anna Wintour a few years back. And she's got this really interesting voice. And so it's just different, and it's done by Maximum Fun. There's no adverts. There's no trails. And all they say is, if you like it, pay what you want. Now, I've never, ever done that before, but I went on to Maximum Fun after the series and I gave them some money.
And this is why.
She pops in earbuds and begins to run across her picturesque urban paradise underneath a beautiful blue sky. Guys with huge lumberjack beards and women dressed like 80s breakdancers all brunch and vape and walk shelter dogs and have two loud conversations. Like this.
This new cleanse is super bomb. I can eat anything I want to between 1:40 and 1:55 a.m. The rest of the day, I just inhale a series of steams.
I'm just so much more present since I deleted Twitter and Facebook from my phone. It's given me more time to just exist, you know?
You guys, documentaries. I cannot get enough freaking documentaries right now. Have you seen the one about food?
Activated charcoal is actually, like, the best.
Morgan turns a corner and is flanked by another jogger.
Hey, nice fanny pack. Did you know that fanny is actually what British people call the lady privates?
This is Chad, a man who clearly just read a how-to on a pickup artist subreddit titled How to Talk to a Woman Who is Wearing Headphones. Going to wager a guess and say he's also super into Bitcoin, too.
Sorry, can't hear you. I have earbuds in.
Oh, we'll just take them out.
These actually don't come out. It's inconvenient, but the plus side is that I don't have to hear strangers' terrible vagina jokes.
Hey, wait up. I was just thinking it'd be fun to talk while we were jogging.
Before Chad can finish his sentence, a reptilian monster erupts out of nowhere and latches onto his face. It's about the size of a monkey and has long, bat-like wings.
Oh, this'll be fun.
There's Bubble. It is really good. And when you told me you were going to talk about it, I thought I'd better listen to some of this. And I lolled in the way that you young people do. I genuinely lolled. Okay, Nikki, your second choice.
So the next choice is something or somebody who I have been listening to for many, many years, and Giles Peterson on Six Music. Now, I was involved in sort of exec producing and producing Giles back when I worked at something else, and I think Matt was involved too. But I listened to him this weekend, and I listened to him most weekends on Six Music, and I just thought this weekend, I thought, bloody hell, he's still great. And it just makes me so happy that Six Music is there. It makes me so happy that Giles is there. You know, he was talking about the sort of new, basically young people and jazz, and had this sort of new wave of jazz. And I thought, God, I wouldn't have a handle on this anymore if it wasn't for Giles. I wouldn't be in touch with what's going on about this. I wouldn't know that there's this enthusiasm and passion for jazz music if it wasn't for Giles telling me.
Here's a clip.
And this is Mr. G, who's just made a new record, a new album. It's a great house producer and made some big records back in the 80s, early 90s, early dance music around the same kind of era as our focus last week, 88. And a really great live performer and making these kind of interesting beats. New album is Part of Me, Volume 2. With the latest track from Hack Baker, I really like him, called Thirsty Thursday. I want to get him on some heavy rhythm section stuff. I'm going to try and put some combinations together soon here on this show, some future live recordings. If you've got any ideas of some MCs, singers that you've heard me play over the last, or others in the last year or so, that you think would work really well with a rhythm section based out of the sort of new jazz school coming up.
That's a very typical Giles Peterson link, Matt. It goes on a long time, and it's quite rambly. And if you were sent that as a demo, I suspect you wouldn't put that voice on air.
Yeah, but he's earned the right to do that, hasn't he?
Good point.
I don't think that's true, actually, as well. I don't think that's true because I don't think it's about, you know, there's so much room for different people, the passion that he has in music and the way he tells you and it, that it matters, right? That this is a, it's a urgent, you have to like this, you have to understand it. And also it's like, it's new music, it's an Aretha Franklin special, it's yeah. It's the, you know, last week he had a Mo Wax retrospective, you know, so, oh great, fantastic, Mo Wax makes me feel comfortable. But he also then had a label retrospective on something called Whitey's that I'd never heard of. And, you know, and I suddenly thought, oh God, I really need to find out about this.
And there is a, you know, it's a real cliche, but comparing people to John Peel, but actually, in Giles's, in terms of his longevity, I mean, yeah, like you, I've worked with him in the past, but I listened to him on Kiss when it was a pirate, and I've listened to him on Kiss when it was legal, and I listened to him when he kind of came over to Radio 1, and it was always said with Giles when we were working with him at something else, and he's still at something else, Giles has an audience, and wherever you put Giles in a schedule, his audience will follow. Now, he's grown his audience in the last kind of like few years, and I think that's because he's just a brilliant broadcaster with a real passion for music that has never got stale.
But don't you think the best thing is that it's on Saturday afternoons? Yeah. I mean, it's a fantastic slot. And that, I think, is the best thing. It's like, oh, this is just when I want to listen.
It's not shoved away kind of like Sunday at 10 o'clock or whatever.
Yeah, it's just when I want to listen to quality music, and I really respect Six Music for doing that.
Matt Hall, your choices.
I've chosen a couple of podcasts. The brilliant thing about podcasts is that you can get really anal about topics. And there's a podcast called Rule of Three, which is presented by two comedy writers, Jason Hazley and Joel Morris. And they're the guys that are probably best known for the Lady Bird books for grown-ups. But they've written for Charlie Brooker. They've written, they've got a comedy series on Radio 4 at the moment in the 11 o'clock slots. And they are students of comedy. And a Rule of Three is obviously named after the rule that all things are funny if you list three of them. The third one is the gag. But what they do is they get comedians and comedy writers on to talk about stuff that's influenced them and stuff that they find funny. And so the one that I was listening to this week was John Finnemore about talking about Chris Morris's On the Hour. And just listening to it made me remember how amazing it was when you first heard that thing kind of going out. And but they've had, like, John Holmes on Monty Python's Contractual Obligation. They've had Carid Lloyd on Whose Line Is It Anyway? Catherine Jakeway's on Ever Decreasing Circles. There's quite a Python thing. So, yeah, Matthew Holness has done Monty Python's Holy Grail LP, David Quantick on Time Bandits. But, you know, and there's that kind of cliche that if you start to analyse a joke, it doesn't become funny. But actually, the skill with this programme is that they've analysed the jokes and they're still funny.
Here's a clip.
You know, I don't have a stable of characters I bring out every week. It is just, here are the 12 best things that we that Ed and I decided were worthy of going in this episode.
So the theme is goodness. Yeah. Just good ones. Just good ones. You don't do the bad ones.
Oh. Well, I write the bad ones, obviously.
It takes ages to write the bad ones, doesn't
oh,
it?
I know.
If only you could just skip.
It's such an inefficiency.
And you can't even when something's looking bad as you write it, you can't go, oh, well, I'm writing a bad one, I can skip that. Because as we know, sometimes the bad one turns into a good one later on when you realise something about it.
That legendary thing that, is it David Renwick who wrote the Mastermind sketch?
Yeah.
Answering the previous question. And he'd thrown that in the bin. He had to take it out of the bin and sellotape it back together.
Yeah, I think he'd literally torn it up because he tried to write a clever sketch. I think he wanted to write a sort of Palin Jones sketch because they were, you know, young and funny. And he thought, oh, well, I could do that. I'll write a clever sketch. And then he wrote this. Oh, this is ridiculous. Sort of, no one will, there's no laughs in this. This is just a crossword puzzle. And ripped it up, threw it away.
Good evening. Your name, please.
Good evening.
You have chosen to answer the question before last each time. Is that correct?
Charlie Smithers.
That's a rule of three. Matt Hall, your final choice.
And at the risk of making somebody in the studio a bit embarrassed, I have this rule with myself that when I stop working on a programme, I stop listening to it because bitterness only ensues, which is not a good look for anyone. The one time that I've broken this rule is the Backlisted podcast, which I worked on for a year. And then because I started at Wireless, I kind of had to hand it over, and I handed it over to Nikki, and she's done a fantastic job over the last kind of 6 months, I think, of continuing the show. And it's basically, I've just realised, it's very similar to Rule of Three. I only realised when I started talking about it. It's two guys, John Mitchison and Andy Miller, and they invite a guest on each programme, and that guest talks about, the three of them talk about a book, and it's the reason it's called Backlisted is Backlisted is a publishing term for books that are no longer at the front of the table, or on the table at the front of Waterstones, but they're not out of print. And most recently, they went down to Port Elliot, the Literary Festival in Cornwall, and one of the books that they talked about was George Orwell's The Lion and the Unicorn, and the guest that they had on stage was Billy Bragg. And the good thing about this podcast is always you, very rarely are there books that I've read, but they're always books that you want to read by the end of the show. But at the end of the of this particular show, Bragg being Bragg, basically got everyone to sing unaccompanied, and the audience and the people on the stage, Jerusalem. Part of the enjoyment of it was wondering if people were actually knew the words to the second verse, but Billy Bragg carried everyone through and it was fantastic as well.
It's a real hairs on the back of the neck moment, so I'm going to play it all. Here it is.
Wait up. I want you to stand. I want you to stand. Now that you feel this Englishness in your veins, I want you to stand. I want us to sing together what should be our national anthem, I Will Lead. And did those feet in ancient times walk upon England's mountains green? And was the Holy Lamb of God on England's pleasant pastures seen? And did the countenance divine shine forth upon our clouded hills? And was Jerusalem builded here amongst these dark satanic mills? Second verse, here we go. Bring me my bow of burning gold. Bring me my arrows of desire. Bring me my shield, oh, stars unfold. I'm there. Bring me my chariot of fire. I shall not sleep from mental fight, nor shall my sword sleep in my hand, till we have built Jerusalem in England's green and pleasant land.
So that's the Backlisted Pod. I think we've nearly finished. Any other business from anybody, Matt Hall?
No. Nope,
thank you very much for coming. Good luck with your future podcasts. Nikki Birch?
Thank you.
And you, I'm going to not let you go until you talk about Radio 3 and the announcement that there's going to be an interactive drama, because you've worked on this.
Yes, so I've been working it with BBC R&D on an interactive piece called The Unfortunates that's going to be released sometime in the next month. And it's a reversioning of a Radio 3 linear piece to be an interactive piece. And it's starring Martin Freeman. And it's a 1960s book by B.S. Johnson that's now going to be randomised and interactive.
So if I'm listening to it on the A word, yeah, will she be able to change the story to my taste?
It'll be the original book actually came in pamphlet form in different sections, so you had to read it in a randomised way. It was very experimental fiction, and this will be a randomised piece of content. So every time you listen, you will get a kind of reshuffle, and there'll also be you're able to hear bonus content. So you'll hear the making of the piece that we're going to record, and a few other relevant archive hours that will be around 1960s experimental fiction.
Good luck with that. It's the 21st century. Matt, do you get any more from you?
No, that's all.
Good luck with Next Radio.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this, which was the Radio Today Roundtable for September. Join us again in a month's time. Now back to you, Stu.
Thank you, Trevor. Interesting stuff. Well, this will be a busy week for David Lloyd's radio moments in the years to come. And there's quite a lot in it already from years gone by. He's on the way after some thoughts about radio station names.
At james.crid.land, I'm James Cridland, the radio futurologist. And this week, naming your own radio station. If you could own a radio station, what would you call it? Posted a man called Nick in a radio discussion board on Facebook the other day. Now, this Facebook group is mostly comprised of people complaining about how words are being pronounced in radio station news bulletins or photographs of car registration plates that vaguely look like call letters. So this was a welcome change of pace, and I grabbed some popcorn and I started reading. Quite a few imaginary radio station names ended with FM, and some used a frequency as well. And I'd suggest that neither of these are a particularly good idea. Jacobs Media have recently done a study of public radio listeners in the US, and one of the findings leapt out at me as being a good indicator of the changing world of radio consumption. They asked respondents how they listened to their home public radio station. 69% of the time, listeners used a radio. 29% of the time, they were using some form of digital device, a computer stream, being twice as popular, incidentally, as a mobile app. Now, these are public radio listeners. The average age of the respondents was over 59, so they're long-term traditional radio listeners, albeit ones who are internet savvy enough to complete a questionnaire on their favourite radio station's website. But even these people are spending nearly a third of their time listening to the radio on something other than an AM/FM receiver. So I'd warn against using a frequency or FM in your station name if you can avoid it, since more and more listeners aren't using either of those things to listen. Back in the Facebook group, other people were coming up with interesting names: The Pit, The Local, Vault, and Planet Mate. Well, it was an Australian one. In a book, The Design of Everyday Things by Donald Norman, he discusses things that he calls affordances. They're little clues to help us understand how something works. And a really good example of an affordance is that metal strip on an office door. It's put on the side of the door that you push, and it's there precisely to let you know that you can push this door and which side to push it. It actually does nothing else. Now, FM or 105.9 is a little clue, an affordance, that this is a radio station. Now, there's a radio station in the UK called Jazz FM that hasn't broadcast on FM since 2005. But people know at least that it's a radio station, even if they're confused as to why they can't find it on the FM dial. So, while I love the idea of calling a rock station The Pit, at least off-air in its logo, it needs an affordance too. I'd make the logo read The Pit Radio. Without it, after all, The Pit could be literally anything. The early days of digital radio in the UK were full of radio stations with random names like The Groove that always needed clarifying with "it's a radio station," and that made no sense at all. The world of smart speakers makes station names doubly important, since frequencies or wave bands are pointless on these devices. But it's certainly the case that branding radio stations is more complicated now than it's ever been. The word radio might be the most important brand we have. You can get my weekly newsletter at james.crid.land and daily podcast news at podnews.net. I'll see you at Next Radio in a couple of weeks' time, and so will this man. Here's David Lloyd.
As digital starts to account for the lion's share of listening, let's think back to when FM was quite a novelty. It was 30 years ago this week that Radio 1 switched on more of its FM transmitters across the UK and with 65% coverage declared a Radio 1 FM switch-on day with boy band Bross ready to help out, flying across the UK by helicopter.
And now in Scotland, handling the switch-on of the first big FM transmitter is Mark Goodyear. It's coming up to 8 o'clock. This is Radio 1 with history in the making. 3, 2, 1, in goes the switch.
The radio of the future is here today.
We are now on in FM in central Scotland. Welcome to the exciting new sound of Radio 1. All your records are going to sound brilliant now.
Yeah, and I'm just really happy.
History in the making. Craig, thank you.
Newsbeat Sybil Ruscoe is with the fans outside Broadcasting House. What's happening, Sybil?
Well, the scenes out here are just amazing. The big news is that Bross, the boys, are at the Radio 1 studios. Matt, Luke and Craig have just appeared at a window of the Radio 1 building. They've thrown out photographs, signed photographs to the girls outside, and they're going absolutely wild. They're all here in the jeans, the leatherette jackets, and of course those red and white scarves tied at the neck. It's just terrific scenes out here. A great way for Radio 1 to celebrate the first day of the big stereo switch on in the North, the Midlands and Scotland.
Bross helping switch on the exciting new sound of Radio 1. LBC is now a powerhouse, and as Eddie Mair joins the station, let's remember that it's only 25 years since LBC was making the news for rather different reasons.
LBC News Talk 97.3 FM. You will have heard by now of the decision by the Radio Authority to axe this station from the airwaves. A decision taken by this clutch of establishment poodles and made at the stroke of a pen. A decision considered in secret and handed down to you without any public inquiry, any reference to what you, the listener, might think.
And the chairman of LBC, Dame Shirley Porter, is actually going to be the guest on Nightline this evening with Chris Mann from 10 o'clock tonight. So if you want to talk to her about the future of LBC and indeed the decision by the Radio Authority, then you can do just that by picking up the telephone and talking to Lady Porter live here on LBC.
Now,
News
let's look on the bright side of things. Certainly, we have 13 months to go because whatever happens, our franchise does not run out until October of next year. So we've got 13 months to go. Now, how you can help? There are petition forms in our reception area which you can sign. Just put your name, address and signature on the petition forms. And we are to be found at 72 Hammersmith Road, London W14. If you're going out of London, it's
LBC
on the right
losing its license, replaced by London News Radio. In due course, of course, the news stations reclaimed the LBC name. The Heart brand now reaches around 10 million people across the UK. The brand was born 24 years ago this week.
You're listening to Test Transmissions from Heart FM, the new soft rock station for Warwickshire and the West Midlands. Due to start broadcasting at 7 a.m.
Heart, born in Birmingham. A year later, another licence win took it to London, where it very nearly wasn't called Heart at all. But frantic discussions ensued and common sense prevailed.
This is a test transmission from Heart 106.2, relaying live New York's WPLJ, voted America's number one adult radio station.
Does London really need another radio station? Yesterday were around a dozen citywide broadcasters filling the capital's ears with everything from jazz to Greek. This morning, another one jostled its way onto the dial, Heart FM. It's got Cara Noble, Chris Tarrant's former sidekick, but has it got what it takes to survive? Liz Wickham reports on the war of the wavelengths.
It's 7 o'clock on Tuesday, the 5th of September, 1995. Welcome to London's brand new radio station, Heart 106.2.
Happy birthday, Heart. Now, in the light of this week's surprise announcement, it's quite fitting to look back to this very same week in 2009 and the earlier change at Radio 2. 3 months before the often-played farewell words from Terry Wogan, he announced his decision.
I was hoping to break it to you, my loyal listener, more gently. I wanted to be the first to tell you. It's the least I owe you for endless years and countless hours of morning companionship and friendship and good humour and laughter. And your loyalty and support's been a beacon of love. And this is the hardest thing I've ever done in my broadcasting career, to say goodbye to you in the mornings. But if not this year, when? 5 years? 10? I'd rather leave while we're in love, as the song says. While the programme is the most popular on British radio, while we still delight in each other's company. So this is not goodbye. It's not even au revoir. As they used to say when I was a lad. See you later, alligator. In a while, crocodile.
Terry preparing to vacate the breakfast chair this week 9 years ago. And we look forward to hearing Chris Evans's last words later on this year. Key, if he's allowed to. Key in Manchester changed to Hits Radio a few months ago, and it's 30 years this week since the Manchester FM station had its last brand change.
From the heart of Manchester, this is Key 103.
You're in tune with Britain's first 24-hour all-FM radio station.
Key 103. Music, not music.
24 hours a day.
For quality music.
Quality music. Key 103.
The best of the past, the present, and the future. Don't touch that dial. Key 103.
Key 103.
In stereo.
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 Key 103.
For up-to-the-minute information to keep you in the picture. For facts and expert opinion, don't touch that dial.
Key 103.
Accentuate the positive with a distinctive sound of Key 103. It's all here for Manchester and the Northwest, 24 hours a day. Key 103.
Hello to Key 103 this week in 1988. Music, not music. So, with Simon Mayo ending Radio 1 Breakfast 25 years ago...
I have to work out what I'm going to say in the next link. I mean, a lot of people think you have scripts, but you don't.
Michael Aspel joining Capital to host Mid-Mornings 44 years ago.
Daryl Hall and John Oates and Rich Girl. Well, exercise is, of course...
The launch of Leicester's short-lived Centre Radio 37 years ago.
And I'd like to share these few moments of history with you as we approach the start of daily broadcasting on Centre Radio, the city and county's new independent radio station.
And the BBC proms disrupted 7 years ago.
I'm sorry that we're unable to continue with our broadcast of tonight's prom by the Israel Philharmonic Orchestra because of disruption in the Royal Albert Hall.
Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Thank you, David and James and Roy Martin and to Trevor Dan and his guests on the monthly roundtable. Next week, maybe some more chat about Chris Evans and... John Myers, Morgan in the Morning, joins us to talk about the 20th birthday of Century 105 in the Northwest, and we'll get his thoughts on life and the radio industry as well. Why not? Join us for that next week.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creating and distributing clever software for radio.